I want to welcome you to the Drag Champ Show. The three amigos are leading this show, none other than Jake Hodge, Mr. Hoodrich, Ryan Gleghorn, and Gary Don Free, Mr. Drag Champ himself. Now, I wouldn't ride to the store with these three yahoos, but you put them together for some good old stories, some racing news, some results from all over the world. Now, that's a party you just don't want to miss. So, let's tune in, let's hang on, and let's get it on. I want to welcome you to the Drag Champ Show.
Y'all ready to get started?
Yep.
Fuck yeah, let's fuck this donkey.
Well, that's the intro now. And with us on the Drag Champ Show this weekend, or this week, holy fuck, it's been a long time since I did one of these, is not the $1 million race winner in Vegas, not the 30K runner-up, but the 2000, I'm going to give you this award since no one else will give it to you, the 2020 Pit Bitch of the Year, Dylan Mudd. How are you doing, bud?
I don't really prefer pit bitch. I more prefer tire checker, but, you know, I'm doing pretty good.
You do more than check tires, though.
Yeah, I do a lot more than check just tires, but, you know, pit bitch, that's a sensitive subject.
I gotcha. I mean, I rolled through Vegas a couple times this week. Y'all were parked down the road from us, and you were, it looked like you were doing most of the unloading and loading, and then I know you do maintenance, all their stuff over in the Butner camp.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I've never had two dragsters to ever load in my life. And I'm still trying to learn on that back and one end. And that's some difficult shit right there. That's more worse than doing a burnout and going 440s down the 8th mile.
Yeah. See, the back and the end, it's really a precise process to get two dragsters in. I'm assuming on the bottom floor.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It can be tricky.
I still hadn't figured out how to get mine in the backed up into my car, my trailer. It's rough.
It's a whole lot easier pulling the second one in than it is backing in the first one.
Oh, fuck yeah. I've had Bailey Ferraro come up to me one time laughing his ass off. And I shut the car off and I said, "Do you know how to do this?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Good, get the fuck in." And I mean, that shit's
difficult. Did he put it in? Did he stick her in there?
Yeah, he stuck it in. He scratched my goddamn header though.
Hey, every time I'm trying to load mine, I look like a monkey fucking a football. I mean, it's terrible, man.
Hey, it's okay. Sometimes you're the monkey and sometimes you're the football, but you know.
That's true. You guys had a big week last week. Ryan, according to Dylan in the lanes the other day, he was the entire reason that Randy Lynn runnered up to 30K on Wednesday. And
oh, I got to hear this.
Butner won. Oh, yeah. That was what the word was in the lanes.
Well, I mean – Crew Chief, tell me how you coach these two up, because I'm just going to be honest with you, and I know you're going to be honest with me. When I rolled into Vegas on early Thursday morning, they weren't my first two picks get deep, but your camp put on a fucking show.
You went deep the last day, too. I think something fucked up in that delay box because I did not feel 41 when I let go of that fucking button.
It looked a little late from my perspective, but, you know, I was just videoing live, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't made a lot of passes in a dragster, and if I have, they've all been spread out. And just like this one, you know, I made a time shot on Tuesday. It was like I was at a national event. I made three runs on Thursday and then – the 50K time run on Friday and then raced on Saturday or whatever. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my hands, you know? But,
Bobby now?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we were on the road for about 3 weeks and we had Bo Stock Super Stock race and they were like, "Well, we're going to Vegas for the fling." And I'm like, "Sweet." And they're like, "Well, you got somebody riding with you." And I like driving by myself. And, but, you know, I bit the bullet. We did it. Left Sunday at noon in Georgia. Got to Vegas Monday night around 2 a.m.
Damn.
And, you know, I was hating life at the moment. I was wanting to go home. It was fucking cold and windy. And didn't get to gamble. Didn't even see a hooker. And I wasn't feeling it until Thursday. About, you know, 16 cars. I see Gary coming up to me with the damn TV. Or phone or whatever the hell he had in his hands, and we started making some money, but Bo has already started spending that money, so I guess we're gonna have to try again next week.
He was trying to negotiate, I think it's 16 cars with his car owner, and trying to negotiate his split a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Now, who was your riding partner, by the way? Hang on, let me get that straight.
Davey Allison. Okay. He drives a lot of people's stuff, and you know, I like going by myself because I can listen to music, and I can't sing worth the fuck, but I think I can, especially whenever I'm drunk. And didn't really get to sing. Had to listen to a little bit of gospel music, and really just couldn't do my own thing. It kind of bums me out when I can't do my own thing. And
all right, so back to the 16 cars and you negotiating your split with Randy Lynn. How was that going? Did you get your cut up a little bit since you put her in the final?
You know, I still didn't get paid for that yet, which we're supposed to be leaving tomorrow, but we're going to have a talk before we roll out of the Jim Butner Auto Group lot.
I bet you are.
You know, I'm going to try to at least. And goddamn, it's fucking hot in here.
That's all the alcohol coming out of you. You'll be fine.
It's sweating out probably natural lights.
Just turn the fucking AC on. You'd be okay, bud.
Shout out to Busch Light, Natty Light, Bud Light, Miller Light, and special guest Coors Light, Piss Water.
He's drinking whatever's in the house right now.
No, I was at the shop, and whatever was in the motor home fridge, I grabbed. And it's not a lot, but it'll get me through. But Randy, she doesn't really care about the money. She just cares about where we're going to eat that night, you know? Yep. And, you know, third round's coming around. She's already wanting to split this shit up so we can go to dinner on the strip and hit a slot machine or two. And but we made some good money out of it. Made even better money out of it Saturday or Friday. Fuck, I don't even know. It's been a long 4 weeks, guys.
I can imagine.
So, Ryan, I come over, you know, I'm Facebooking live for the final of the million. Bo wins, you know, and I'm trying to see what the numbers are and hear and tell everybody. And I see this dude he does his patented golf, you know, Tiger Woods fist pump thing, whatever he does. And then he starts kind of heading over to Victory Lane and win a circle, whatever you call the damn thing. And I see a little tear welling up in his eyes. So I grab him, you know, while I got him. He's all emotional. So how did that feel, man? Cause I caught you right in the moment, dude.
You know, it was kind of surreal, really. I mean, I've never really, we've never really got a big check on these three cars. And, you know, Hunter's helped me out a lot on these three cars. But other than that, it's really just been me. And I've been getting some of Daryl's help too on some things. And Bo, he'll do whatever he can every once in a while too. And, you know, to see something that you put your heart and soul in to make sure it's good, and to see it cash a win light for something that big is just surreal. And I'm gonna need a lot more beer than this.
Holy shit.
Well, I mean, it seemed like before the final, you know, it really wasn't very stressful. It was pretty laid back in the lanes. Even maybe at 20, I think it was 24 cars, it seemed a little stressful there, but once they got down to 12 and negotiated some sort of split, it seemed like everybody was kind of loose from then on out. Was Bo, and Bo in the final was pretty loose. So is it because he's been there before, or, you know, been in big races before, or is it just he was having so much fun it didn't really matter?
You know, that I don't really know, because, I mean, he's been racing longer than I've been alive, and he's done a bunch of shit. And, I mean, in the interview, he even said that's better than winning a pro stock championship. Yep. And, I mean, I don't really know, to be honest with you on that one.
Well, I know he said before the final, when he met up with Chris and they were talking, I mean, he just basically said, we're racing for the trophy. Like, the trophy was just the win itself was more important to him than anything. And I thought that showed a lot, considering he was a world champ. He's what, 2-time world champ. He's won factory stock, pro stock, comp eliminator. I mean, all these different things, and really been a big name on the NHRA stage. And literally, it just seemed like that million-dollar win was really important to him. So,
yeah, it was. I mean, he's drove a lot of stuff, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of crazy stuff. And, you know, going 450s in the desert, cashing a check for $250,000 was his most favorite thing in the world. And I can't believe he even said that, because in comp, he had a Cobalt with a pro charger in it. And that thing was wild and reckless and cool as hell. And I would have took that probably over winning $1 million. because I'm that stupid.
Yeah, that was a pretty badass comp car. It was pretty dangerous. He said, looking back, I think a couple years later, he's like, I can't believe I drove the damn thing. But
oh, we still got it. He was wanting to do the No Prep Kings with it. And we still got it, and we ain't finished it. He told Daryl, he said, I don't want to spend no more money on this thing. So it's just sitting in the shop with a car cover on it. It's got a fresh top alcohol funny car Brad Anderson Hemi in it with a pro charger, though.
Oh, wow.
That's a bad bitch.
That's a lot of motor for a super stock car, basically, right? It's like a modified product or modified car.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just a tube chassis Cobalt. That's all it is.
All right. Well, now enough about the million. Let's talk about the after the million. Tell us about the limo ride. Let's just get into what happened after the big check was presented.
After the big check, they all got in the limo, and I had to take the car back, which the starter hung on it, and the power didn't shut off. So then we had to cut the wire off the starter, and I had to push it all the way back to the trailer. And after that, we're going to start parking way closer to the start line or finish line now. And we took off to the Cosmo. We were hungry. We stopped at In-N-Out, rode the strip. I sang a bunch of songs. They had Hot in Here by Nelly come on, and I got shirtless. Some Biggie Smalls came on, and then we went to the suite.
Tupac or something, too? I mean, you got them all going.
You can't put Tupac in Vegas, Gary. That's bad. You can't do that.
I can't believe you didn't bring that up. Wow.
How dare you, Gary? How fucking dare you? They have a whole fucking light pole dedicated to him.
So I got to stop you a second. So you took a limo through the drive-thru at In-N-Out. Does a limo fit through the drive-thru at In-N-Out?
No, which I yelled at the driver and told him there ain't no damn way in hell he could fit that thing through there. So he just settled for a parking spot off to the side, and we went in and got our food. Oh. And we got back to the suite, and I was wore out and a little bit over the influence and passed out on the couch for a little bit before I took an Uber back to the track.
Oh, so you didn't stay the whole night. So the suite must have was – what was the suite like?
It was pretty fancy. It ranks way up there. Overpriced on the snacks and everything, though. They need to make the suite a little bit better. I mean, you just won one of the biggest races of the year, if not the biggest, and you get to take a limo to downtown Vegas and to get in a suite. And, you know, the only thing you could really understand about Vegas, if you go, there's hookers and there's cocaine everywhere. And, you know, I think to make those things better, there should be like a kilo sitting on the counter and a couple of hookers around it.
Biondo and Cyple, if you're listening, we need this in the suite in 2 years.
Yeah. Peter, next year.
Yeah.
Next year, whoever wins, I will check your tires in the final round, both of you.
We're for sure getting that limo ride next year.
I can see Peter and Kyle taking that advice about hookers and blow. I mean, I think that would top off. I think we could put that on the – I bet they would put that on the flyer.
They fucking should.
No, they will.
I know a bunch of people would show up if you put that on the flyer.
It's Vegas, baby. I mean,
you get everybody from coast to coast. 750 entries, first round, race for $250,000 and a shit ton of cocaine. That's all you got to say. People are in.
Yeah, they wouldn't even care about the entry fee no more. They'd be like, fuck it. It'll be worth it.
You could double it. They wouldn't even fucking notice.
Oh, yeah.
Holy fuck.
I can't believe this. I can't even believe
it. So,
leave it to Dylan Mudd.
But I'm just going to let you know, I'm sure you saw on Facebook today, as we usually do, we made a post trying to get, you know, some stories out of people. And unlike last week, I told Gage Birch, you know, he either had like the best parents ever, or he had the best friends, because there's no stories about him. There's just shitload of stories about you. Oh, so before we get into you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get back to the main storyteller in this, that's Tyler Bohannon.
Uh-huh.
I mean, is there any Tebow stories you want to bring up before we get into tearing you down?
You know, any story that Tyler has done something stupid of or idiotic, it involves me too. And gosh, I don't even know if I could think of anything.
Now, remember, this is the same Tyler Bohannon that kept you off the screen and over on the couch and out of sight, out of mind when he had his podcast. Didn't let you speak.
Yeah. He screwed me on that deal.
Yeah. He let Megan come on there, and she got to participate, but he kept you off in the back there.
Yeah, that was some bull crap.
It was a good episode, though.
From over here, from 15 feet away, it sounded like a damn good episode, but damn, I don't even know if I could think of any shit on him.
You literally are, like, with this motherfucker almost every day.
Well, you know, I haven't been here in a month, Ryan, so... I don't know.
Okay, well, then I'm going to start digging into you.
Fuck.
Okay. These are all from our Facebook page, so thank you to those that donated.
So mostly Tyler. Okay, yeah.
Yep. Tell me about the Brainerd story.
Oh, gosh, that one was rough. We left out of here on Tuesday afternoon, and we drove. He couldn't take it no more. I hopped in the seat, drove to about Wisconsin, slept. We got there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we went and got Willie Evans and went straight over there to the zoo. I don't think we left until about 11 o'clock, and about 6:30 is the last thing I really remember. We were playing Jenga, I think. And I woke up next morning, my pants and shirt and boxers and socks, they were all wet, and I was like, there ain't no way in hell I just pissed the bed. And got told later on that night, after I went all day thinking I pissed the bed, that I walked out into a lake. And I don't really like to walk, and that was like a 50-foot walk, and I don't even know if I could have done that drunk, but apparently I did. Apparently I had the cops brought back with me. I don't really remember much, but, hey, we got to a final in Super Comp where, I think he took like 11 or 12 and broke out like an idiot, which he'll cuss at me if I take 11 or 12, but when he takes 11 or 12 on a 20-mile-an-hour difference, it's okay, but no. Fuck me.
Yep.
I know. It was like his fourth runner-up in 2 or 3 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, that started out a pretty good stretch. There was one race in between there, I-57, that was that didn't go as good, but that was about it, really.
Y'all went from I-57 to Indy, didn't y'all?
Yeah, with a car that would not run. Yeah. We had Brian and Tyler doubled at I-57 on like a Wednesday night or something, like 4th of July race. And Brian, he wanted to do a Jeggy burnout. Jeggy burnouts is you grab 3-step, you deck it, and you light both bulbs and back out to pre-stage. Well, Brian did that, 4 or 5 times. Tyler goes up, makes his run. Brian gets back in it, starts it up. It doesn't sound right. Pull the valve covers off, and had a lifter that had spun itself in the lifter bore, and I got it out with a magnet through the lifter valley, and got to Indy, went over to Tyler's father-in-law, got us some intake gaskets, got a new set of lifters put in it, and then later on that week we broke the fucking gear and had to go back home. We stopped at Hardee's on the way home. And he ate my fucking burger.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah. We ordered the same thing, but I ordered mine without onions or tomatoes on it. Mm-hmm. And the first bite I take into has like the biggest and reddest fucking tomato on it. And I'm cussing him from Columbus, Indiana to Louisville, Kentucky. And he's just laughing his ass off.
Holy shit.
So how long have you and Tyler known each other?
Oh shit. We met at a racetrack. My grandpa was running my dad's car, and his dad was running whatever fucking car they had at the time. We were like 7 or 8. That's when we met. We started hanging out when we were 12, and we've been best friends ever since, pretty much. And shit, I don't even know how long that is. See, I'm 21. 9 years. Running for 9 years.
Well, according to Tebow, that you can't beat him ever in your life.
That is bullshit, because I did beat him at a pit vehicle race at Bo Stock Superstock race.
You won that pit vehicle race.
Yeah. I raced Tyler like 8 cars or 4 cars, something like that. I was fucked up. I don't remember. And I remember going across the finish line and seeing my win light. And the only words I said was, "You might have beat me in a big car, but you ain't got shit on me in a pit vehicle."
Atta boy. Fuck it.
Tell me about what's the Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby and his partner?
What was the Cal Norton?
Are you the Cal Norton of the relationship?
No, I'm the Ricky Bobby. You see, we both don't have the fucking money, but other than that, we have the shake and the bake, and I'm the shake, and he bakes at 350.
Holy fuck. Tell me about the pass in the ditch.
Oh, well, that was coming home from Brainerd, you know. He loses, and he's all pissed off because he's lost every final he's been in for the past 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. And we took his Denali dually in a 53-foot gooseneck trailer with a dragster, a scooter, a drum of fuel, and a super stock car. And, you know, I'm sitting in the passenger seat on my phone. He's hauling ass on his phone, too. And I feel him, like, grab on the brakes kind of hard. And I look up, and I'm just like, oh, it's just traffic. And it gets on him a little bit harder. I'm like, oh, shit. And I look up, and the people in front of us about 100 feet away are stopped. And we're still doing 50. And we're in the fast lane. And the only way to pass them is the median. So we put her in the grass, and we pass about 6 cars. And they're all looking at us like we're fucking retarded. But we ain't got trailer brakes. So, I mean, what else do you want us to do?
Why don't you not have trailer brakes?
Shout out to and Chevy. They can't put a trailer brake system on a truck to save the fucking life. You haul a trailer with more than 2 axles and you ain't fucking stopping.
You gotta find a Ford, brother.
I had grabbed the trailer brakes on the Ford this week a couple times and they work just fine. And I'm not even a big Ford guy. So, okay, I'm gonna get off Tebow for a minute. Why couldn't you wear the whole 5-point harness in Estep's GTO?
Well, you see, he's about, let's see.
He's a fucking twig.
Yeah. He's about 200 pounds lighter than me. And, you know, his seat belts wouldn't stretch no more. And the crotch belt would not reach. So I don't even think the damn lap belts reached, to be honest with you. I had 2 straps plugged in, I think. I had the lap the shoulders. Belt. I had the lap belts and I think 1 shoulder.
Yeah. Too many perfectly rolls that safe. Morning or?
I think we had Dairy Queen that morning, and, you know, I probably should have stuck with, like, some vegetables or something, but...
The fruit.
You know. Well, I ain't ate a single one of them since preschool, so...
It's not surprising.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. Shout out to Danny and Chris, though, but if you're going to have somebody bigger than you all race your stuff again, get some long belts, please.
I mean,
or just a regular seat belt.
I mean, like the Pro One belts, you can adjust pretty quick.
Yeah.
I've had to do that from time to time, driving different people's stuff, because I'm usually a little bit rounder than most of the people I drive for. Okay. He says that you're going to know this one, but all it says is 6 years.
Yeah, I do. So it might have been a couple of months ago. We were in his truck, and he was talking. He was like, I have a long time before I got to propose to Megan, right? And I said, yeah, I think you can wait about 4 or 5 more years, but you gotta think of it. Every time you piss her off, that's 7 days. That's a week off. And so you got that much closer to proposing. And we went home that night, and he pissed her off. And I said 7 days right after it. Me and him get to laughing. And she's getting pissed off because she doesn't even know what we're talking about. And by the end of the night, we got it to about 28 fucking days. And she was in there doing laundry and slamming drawers and shit because she was pissed off. And I look over at him. And I was like, hey, buddy, time's up. You got to go get a ring. She's packing her shit. And she came out. She was all fine. I think she cooked some brownies, had a brownie, and she was good to go. But I think that's the 6-year one he was talking about. I might be wrong, but that's the only one I really know.
Well, it sounds like he might make her mad a little bit, because that seemed like a real fast 6-year story that you just told.
Oh, it's a everyday thing.
Can't imagine.
But now now since they're all engaged and everything, they've changed. They're all lovey-dovey on the couch and everything. You know, I don't even think I'm welcome back to their house anymore, even though I'm sitting in it right now.
I was about to say, you're sitting there drinking this beer. I don't know why you ain't started on this Tito's yet.
Oh, you see, I did start wrong. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Beer before liquor, never sicker. But all I got to do is drive 4 hours to St. Louis tomorrow, so we should be good.
Are you racing?
No. Randy Lynn's racing stock in the second race at Tyler's race. Bo just had operation done to his knee, and he can't walk that well. I was at his house tonight, got a video of it.
Did he borrow Chris Galitti's scooter that he had in Vegas?
No, he should have, because that thing was badass.
Fucking.
But
I saw him limping around over there. I'm like, you okay, bud?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, we're good. We're good.
And then I see a picture of Corey posted a picture of him with his scooter on the strip. Oh, it was classic.
I saw him post that, and he's like, comment when you see it. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm scrolling through the comments trying to figure it out. And then somebody said something about it, and then you see that it's up on two wheels or something. And I'm like, well, he is a bad dude, so.
Glady's wild.
Yeah.
A-Dub told me that.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask, y'all just racing Randy Lynn Stocker this weekend?
Yeah. We had one of Bo's Cobra Jets that we were working on getting ready for this race. We couldn't find the headers, but turns out he sold them a couple of years back, and we called American Racing. They're 4 to 6 weeks out on headers, and he went and had this knee operation, so he should be good by the time we head to South Georgia here next week, and he's just going to sit on the couch and maybe rent a suite at St. Louis, just watch all day.
There you go. You got to take a week off, right?
Yeah. Well, I ain't got that week off yet. I've had like a day off. That's about it.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You're still young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm got a 21-year-old mind with an 85-year-old back. That's what I tell everybody. So,
well, you just keep waiting. It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
A-Dub said to ask about your budding athletic career.
Oof. Well, so back whenever I was a whole lot smaller, back in my younger days, I was into sports a lot. And my mom's side of the family, they all played soccer. My grandpa, he's a referee and all that. So I got into soccer. And I was in high school. I played soccer in high school. I got a college scholarship, but didn't take it. It was to a Christian school, which I figured I was going to get kicked out anyways. And but that was about it. I was just there more of for the physical awareness and getting thrown out for the cussing. But other than that, I played sports, which looking back on it now, it was rough. I ran an obstacle course at Bo's race last week, and I was needing the safety safari to come bring me a oxygen tank. But they couldn't get there fast enough because they couldn't stop the race. Anything that has to do with speed and me, they don't work except, you know, getting to a racetrack. That's the only thing that I'm pretty damn good at. I can get there on time and get a good parking spot.
Yeah, and if you'd have taken that scholarship, think of all the fun travel stories from the last few years with Tyler that you'd have missed out on.
Yeah. And, you know, well, I would have been back soon because they would have probably thrown me out, judging with it being like a Christian or holy school, whatever the hell it was. I mean, I wouldn't have lasted long.
I have to agree with you. I don't think you'd have lasted very long.
No. I would have had some pissed off people at me too. So
I can fucking imagine.
Me too.
Holy shit!
I'm gonna have to put. Look, I don't normally put a language disclaimer on our podcast. People just kind of know, but I think for this one, I'm gonna have to put on there that, you know, Dylan cusses more than Ryan Gleghorn. So
he's doing a damn fine job of it.
You know, I mean, that's what I try for. I try to not really give a shit. And
you succeed, bud.
Shout out to Bush Light and Coors Light tonight because they're helping with it right now.
Holy fuck.
I told him
he's got a super stocker, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a super stock 93, 95, Grand Am. I don't know. They're all the same with a 324 SB2 in it. And he's letting me make some hits in it. And me and my grandpa came to disclosure that I'm a way better driver than my dad is. Sorry, Jeremy. And we're gonna try and throw him out of the seat here a few times this year, hopefully, if I'm in town for it. He doesn't really know that yet, but me and my grandpa, we're working on that one.
What do you shift that thing at?
So the 1.2 is about 9,900, and 2.3 is about 10.2, and it goes through the finish line at 10.4.
10.4, good buddy. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, and the converter stall is 95.
Holy fuck.
That'd be fun, huh, Ryan?
I would love to do something like that, but, you know.
Oh, it's a blast.
But, you know, the way my checking works with my savings and the way my bank account's set up, I don't see that happen anytime soon.
Me either.
I made a pass in that thing, and I went back to dad, and I was like, you know, I've done 330 burnouts and dragsters. I've been 430s and dragsters. But doing 150-foot wheelie in a modified car, turning 10,000, going 540s in the eighth mile is badass.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of fun. But I'm having a hard enough time just, you know, keeping my 480 dragster together. I couldn't even imagine what it kind of maintenance and stuff it'd be to run a 10,000 RPM small block modified car.
Well, really, with that thing, we're actually turning it pretty soft. And you know, check the valves once a week, change the oil about every 20 runs, and she's good to go.
Nice. Very nice.
Holy shit. So explain to those at home, you were traveling with Tyler, and then you got the deal with Bo beginning of last year, correct?
Or 19. I started working with Bo December 23rd, 2019.
And and that's your full-time gig. I mean, you don't have what some people would consider a day job. Explain to those what your responsibilities are and like kind of how it goes for you. Like, I mean, because it's from the outside looking in, it looks like a pretty fucking cool gig. Like you just told us you weren't home the whole time through March.
It is pretty cool. Whenever I am home, if I'm home for a full week, I work Monday through Friday, you know, 9 to 5. But, you know, I got this getting up problem in the morning. And it's just whenever I get there till about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But, you know, I maintenance all the cars, clean all the cars, get everything ready, drive the rig to the track, and really anything else he needs me to do, you know. I've drove his roll back a couple of times to Ohio to pick up some repos. I've drove to Oklahoma to pick up some cars that he bought, you know. I've done just about anything, you know. So, I guess next I need to start selling some cars for him.
I bet you that pays a little bit better.
It probably does, but I think, you know, most of that's commission. So, it just depends on how many cars you're wanting to sell and, you know, right now seems a good time to do it because, you know, people are getting that stimulus check and their taxes are coming in and stuff. And they're selling more cars than we can keep on the lot. So, but yeah, I was on the road for 4 weeks, heading out tomorrow to St. Louis, coming back home for a week, getting the bracket cars ready and heading back to SFG for the 500. And it's a blast. I love it. I've been around race cars since I was in diapers and, that was pretty much the whole thing I was wanting to do. I didn't go to college. I signed up to go to college, and I got accepted. But, you know, I kind of thought starting my life 60 grand in debt was a terrible decision. And so I bounced around from jobs to jobs. I went to a place called PVM Performance. They sell world products, Urson cams. Worked there, went to UPS, worked there, which was not fun at all. And then I got the call to go work for Bo, and I've been loving it ever since.
That's pretty badass, buddy. I mean, there's not a whole lot of people who can say they do what they love and actually fucking mean it. You're definitely one of the few when it comes to, and like I said before we signed on, your team not only did, you know, we know Randy Lynn went to the final, I believe that was Wednesday, Bo wins a million, but Saturday I thought Billy was going to make himself a fucking final.
Yeah, I was driving pretty good, and I got yelled at a couple times from Randy because there was two rounds in a row where the total finish line margin, I took 410 foul, Mm-hmm. And she didn't really like that. And I was looking at her slips and I was like, hey, like, we're missing the dial here by like a hunt. So, you know, if I just go up there and kill what I need to and take 8,000, you know, I'm losing this race. And about the same time we did that, Bo was trip zip and he took, I don't know, he took 15 or something and broke out by 4,000. Mm. I'm like, I'm not going to go up there and do that. I don't get to drive all the time. I don't want to waste my chance. And it seemed to work out until I got up there against Shane Thompson and apparently let go 40. I think it was supposed to be more like 004 until the tree came down. But kind of feel like I got screwed on that deal.
It felt great till the car left.
So, Ryan, I'm in the lanes with him on his after he's taken 000 at the stripe two runs in a row. And, of course, I go over there, and him and Randy Lynn are sitting there and talking. And I said, that's some mighty fine driving, brother. I said, it looks impressive. And she goes, he can't see that shit. That's just luck. And he goes, oh, I'm seeing all of it today. I'm feeling, oh, he beat his chest. And she just looked at him like, whatever.
What the fuck ever.
But he kept making rounds, man. I thought, damn, man, he's got it rolling his way. I mean, the car already been to the final once that week, so.
Are you in the black car or the white car?
Well, you see, the black car, we had that starter issue in the finals in the winner's circle the night before, and that was the car I was going to drive, and I was wanting to work on it all night, and they're like, no, we need to go out and party. Like, you ain't done nothing but work on these cars. Like, we need to go out and have a good time. And so we went, and I didn't even hit a slot machine and came back and doubled with Randy. And I had Tyler call me from 2,200 miles across country. And he had three pitchers of Miller Lite. Shout out to Miller Lite. And he was trying to give me the rundown each run. But after those two rounds, you know, things started clicking. We started hitting the dial pretty damn good. And then we had one of my good buddies, one of y'all's good buddies, Austin Williams. Mm-hmm. The first ladder round, and it was right after he broke a tranny and made another hit. He went like 60 with the 7, and he told me he was down 61. And I knew, we all knew the air was getting better. It was going to pick up. And so I had Bo go back and get a 5-pound puck, and I dialed 56 and just let go and looked at the floorboard. And Austin took 110 foul, and I was on the good side of it. And he was cussing me out the next round. And then I had Shane Thompson, and I think CompuLink needs to take a trip out to Vegas because something was fucked up there.
Well, Shane was like one total the round before you, right?
Oh yeah, he was two total, and you know he's a damn good driver, and I knew I had to hit the tree, and I guess whenever I think I got to hit the tree, I just fucking miss it. I guess I don't really know, or the tree misses it for me.
Yeah, he gave you a little room on that run, didn't he?
He was like 17 and 17 dead seven. He laid me like 24 total. And yeah, you know, was
welded to that 499 all week, all day on Sunday or Saturday.
That shit too was pretty legit.
He looks badass, man.
I didn't realize he was that fast. We were loading shit up and it said Shane Thompson. And I was like, okay, I saw the Chevy 2. I figured it was pretty quick, but I didn't think it. I was thinking like 5:30s or something, somewhere around where Galetti's car was. They said 4:99. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, no, it was quick.
Shane's not a small man.
No.
That thing going 4:90s with him in it. That's getting it.
And that's on the that's in Vegas, though. It's quicker at sea level.
Oh yeah. I mean, you put fucking Corey in it in fucking Houston, it probably goes 4:80.
Yeah. But We usually bracket race Bo's car on the throttle stop for a little bit to like 1.2 in the run, and then we shut it back off. And it goes like mid to high 490s, and we just shut it off completely there, and we were going high 490s, low 50s. And, you know, it's crazy, like, how much of a difference it is with the air and how bad it really is out there.
Yeah, Lil Rock's car – the week before in Ardmore went 464. We come off the trailer, went 475.
Yeah. And, you know, we were at Bradenton, and we were going, you know, mid-40s with both dragsters. We go there, and the first two licks, they both lit it up 460. And I'm like, something's broke. And I'm going and talking to everybody, and they're like, I'm like, how slow are y'all? And like, we're usually a 10 slow. I'm like, well, we're 14 to 15, but we don't have a lot of gear in those cars, and we got timing pulled out, and then we put the timing back in it, and it sort of woke them up a little bit. But that desert, man, it'll fucking get you.
What about that wind?
Oh,
wind was nuts.
Yeah. Wednesday and Thursday, I was really hating it there because, you know, we had them wind gusts. It was cold. I've been in Florida and Southern Georgia for 3 weeks, so all I had was shorts and a hoodie, and I was freezing my ass off.
Yeah, I would literally take a backpack up to the tower every day, and I'd have long pants, a hoodie, a T-shirt, a long-sleeve shirt, a knit hat, a ball cap. I mean, I was like, I don't know what the hell I would need today. And from 1 minute to the next, that would change. Because one day I literally wore all those clothes throughout the day. I mean, Kyle Seifel, every time I'd come in the tower, he'd look at me and like, what are you going to wear now when you walk out the door? I was like, I don't know. It's getting hot, so clothes are coming off. And then next thing you know, the sun started going down. It freezing cold and started putting shit back on. I mean, it was the beautiful thing.
If the wind wouldn't have been there, it felt great.
Yeah,
but it just – and trying to dial there at the wind, it's fucking goofy.
Whatever. You missed by a thou. Yeah, you missed 50 grand by a thou.
Yeah.
Oof. But, yeah, I mean, you got the flags at the tower showing, like, a 10-mile-an-hour headwind, and then you got the flags at the finish line showing a 10-mile-an-hour crosswind, and you're like, well, you might be going under. I mean, it's hard to fucking pedal there. There was a couple of rounds where, like, why the hell did we pick up? And you look down at the finish line, it's blowing a 10-mile-an-hour tailwind there, and I'm like, well, fuck. You know,
it went from I think Tuesday it was a 30 mile an hour headwind, and then I think it was Wednesday morning it flipped and there was a tailwind or something. And all of a sudden,
Thursday morning,
maybe Thursday, and everybody's going, they're telling me in the lanes, it's like, man, my 330 is the same, but I'm picking up like three on the back half, you know, and in the eighth mile, which is just dumb. I mean, you know, I can see it in a quarter, but they're like, everything's good till I get to the 330. And then I don't even understand what the hell happens after that. And I said, well, you had a headwind yesterday. You got a tailwind today. I mean, I don't tell you.
Yeah. We didn't get there till Thursday. So we missed all the super bad headwind shit. So people were like, the first couple of rounds, I watched people. I was like, holy fuck. Like, everybody was under. And I just kind of told him, like, you just don't fucking get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he decided to take 002 runs in row. So I'm like, okay, I guess that works too.
That's why I told Bo in the million getting into late rounds, because, you know, Randy, she was still in some of those late rounds in the million, and she was going out there, you know, lighting it like one under and two under and stuff. And I told Bo, I said, don't take the finish line. And he gets down there and he lets his opponent loose like two or three runs in a row. And, you know, we got on the good side of it. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. That, and you never have to set an alarm down there because you got them damn jets at 6:30 in the morning every morning.
Rattle the RVs.
Fuck yeah. There was one. It got low as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
That was – I think that was the million day. I was just getting out of the fucking trailer and it felt like it was about to run to the fucking trailer when I walked out.
Yeah. Those guys, there was actual point. There was about a 15 minute point on one day where I didn't even look at the racetrack. I got distracted, and there was like, I don't know, it seemed like 50 of them, some bitches just coming in and landing all at the same time. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I'm supposed to be taking photos, but I didn't give a shit. It was kind of cool to watch. But when they buzz low, they'll rattle everything, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had my alarm going off one morning. I'm like, fuck. And then I hear one of them jets, and I'm like, okay, this is stupid.
It's cool to fucking watch, but when you're laying there in bed at the racetrack, you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah. And you know, it was real cool, like when they're playing the national anthem like the day of the million, and they got these jets like circling around getting ready to land and stuff. That was pretty damn cool.
Yeah. I was just confused on what time of day it was. So my phone updated to Western or Pacific time. My laptop was like in between, I don't know what damn time zone it was on. It was in between Pacific and Central. And then, of course, my family, when I'm trying to call them, you know, it's 2 hours behind us. And for the longest time, I was just so confused. Going to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning, getting up at 5 because it felt like 7. And it was just a weird, weird deal for me. But it was a lot of fun. It was a good race.
Yeah. The night of the million when we won, it was like 11:30, and I got people back at home texting me, and my grandpa, he texted me, and I'm like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, how the hell are you still awake?
They were watching the live feed on Drag Champ.
Yeah, yeah. There was a bunch of my family members watching live on Drag Champ this week. And
we had so many bit of it. We had hundreds of thousands of people watching those live feeds. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. All right, man, you had a rant. I want to hear this rant before we let you go.
Oh.
What's your rant about? The rant?
About the line log deal.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
And, you know, that E-Step car, it's got it too. But, you know, that was okay because I like doing long burnouts. But the people that have their line lock on, like, a toggle switch on their switch panel, you know. Some of the shifters come with a damn button. Just wire that button into, okay? I mean, I drove E-Step's car, and I'm, like, letting off the shifter, and I'm like, this thing ain't fucking moving. And I'm like, oh, shit, and grab it. And I'm like, you know, it's pretty cool because you can hold it out a little bit longer and stuff. But, I mean, me, I forget a bunch of things. And, you know, I'll hit the wrong damn button, too. So you never really know. But that's kind of stupid. I don't really like it. But if it works, it works. But it's retarded.
Slick Rick's car is like that. It's on the switch panel. And the first time when I drove it at a Norwalk, we were getting used to it because, like, the switch panel is, like, right here, like, right next to your fucking head. So it's, like, I put it in high, then I'm like, I think it's this one.
You keep hitting buttons until it rolls out of the water?
Yeah, until it starts fucking moving.
Just bury your foot in the gas?
Yeah, fuck it.
We'll drive it out.
Yeah, I thought I was going to do a burnout cross starting line Norwalk till I realized that fucking start line's way the fuck out there. Yeah, this ain't like going to fucking Ardmore. It's if you're going to do a burnout cross start line in a door car there, you got to get after it.
Yeah.
All right, Dylan Mudd, man, we appreciate you coming on. Before we let you go, anybody you want to thank, anything you want to add?
I don't really think there's anything I want to add. You know, I want to thank everybody that keeps me having a job. You know, Joe Heslin and the boys at APD, they build all of our motors. Bo told me today he's got a 632 coming as a spare for our cars. They're reliable as hell. They're fast as hell. They're consistent as hell. I mean, I'd put them up against anything in the world. Joe Heslin, boys at APD, Marco, Bruzy Transmissions, A1, Torque Converters, Turtle, Buddy, all the guys at Mickey Thompson, Miller Race Cars, these dragsters, they're doing pretty damn good. Undercover with the Roadster. We actually had the Roadster cleaned up a little bit by Race Tech. They did a pretty good job with it too. John Horner at Summit. And Greenleaf, they do a lot for us. They, when I'm in a bind, they can get me something there the next day. And pretty sure I gave at least three of their guys raises off the money I've spent at Summit. Erica, HPL Oils, Jason Line, even though I really don't want to say his name, he gets me oil filters. He makes them himself for these cars. And even though I tell him Greg Anderson's my favorite pro stock driver, he still helps me out whenever I need it. And see, that's pretty much about it.
Bo and Randy Lynn.
Bo and Randy Lynn, give me the best job I could ask for. Randy Lynn loves snacks. I love snacks too. We have snacks in between rounds, pizza in between rounds, which we got to limit her pizza because she tends to let go a little bit late after the pizza. I guess I got to thank Tyler because without him, I probably wouldn't have this job.
I was going to say he had to make you famous, right? Is that what he, that's what he told me.
Yeah. Well, at the time Tyler was still selling cars for Bo, and Bo was like, hey, I need a guy to work on the pro stock car. And Tyler, for some ungodly reason, mentioned my name. And so now I get to drive a rig all the way across the country, go to racetracks that I'd never been to before, party like there's no tomorrow until that 7 o'clock phone goes off again. And I got to get back up and start getting back to it. Let's see. I don't know if I should thank Megan. I don't really know what I should thank her for, but I feel like it's needs to be thanked. So thank you, Megan.
She should be thanking you, right? Cause her mom, Tori, posted that you were good at planning engagements.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I should really get a thank you from Tyler, because for him, I started drinking at 10:30 that day. shout out to Pro One for getting me the awesome costume for Bo's race.
That was an awesome now costume.
Yeah, that's now going to be my new racing suit. And I found out they have pockets in the jacket. You can fit, you can fit two Busch Lights in each pocket. So shout out to Pro One.
They're pretty thick.
Thanks for making something that I really need, which is a new racing suit and something to hold my beer.
Holy fuck. Well, bud, we appreciate you coming on. It's definitely been an entertaining hour or so that we've been on. And I know I'll probably see you down the road. And you just keep being you, bud.
Yep, I'm gonna try this. This other beer got empty, so I'm gonna go grab me another one, and I'm gonna continue watching some Urban Hillbilly. So,
all right, bud. You have a good evening.
Thank you. Y'all too.
Holy shit!
Oh, that was good. Man, the best thing is I caught him all emotional right after that final round the other night. Man, he was just about getting teared up, and he had to clean it up real quick for the camera, but. That was pretty cool. It meant a lot to him, obviously. And I think seeing him there last week and Randy Lynn going to the final with 30K and then Bo winning and then him running deep, had to be a pretty special week for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime someone wins a $1 million race, either if you're the one behind the steering wheel or you're the one that puts the car together, it's a pretty big deal. You get those bragging rights for until – I used to say until the next year, but fuck, there are four of them now, so you get bragging rights till the next one.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, very cool deal for them. They had, like I told him, they had a hell of a weekend, making two finals and then Dylan getting really close to making it a third.
Yeah, he was running deep and he's driving well too. I mean, if it wasn't for a late light, I think, you know, he definitely went even deeper. He was already deep when that happened. I forget there was.
Yeah, they were on the ladder. I remember. Yeah. But man, it was a fun week. When we left off this show last week, I was sitting in Memphis, Tennessee, with really no real plans to be in Vegas. And then me and Lil Rock got hooked up. He needed a way to get to Vegas. I wanted to be in Vegas. So I end up, me and Tara end up taking Rocky McClain to the Spring Fling Million. We had a great time. Really the first time I've got to hang out with Lil Rock since he was like in juniors. A lot of people didn't know who he was, and Junior Dragsters, the kid was a bad motherfucker. It seemed like every time we'd roll in Kendall Saturday afternoon, I'm watching Lil Rock get his picture taken in front of the tower. And, you know, the kid quit for 5 years and then just jumps in trying to race on this level. And he's done a really good job up to this point.
Yeah, he's definitely laying down good laps. I mean, man, it was Friday morning in the Brodex run for the 50K. You lay down a perfect lap and you get $50,000 on the spot. Little Rock lets go triple zero, and I'm in the tower, and Ryan's excited. When that triple zero pops up, I mean, everybody perks up, and then he goes one thou under from the perfect package.
Man, so the day before, he had more delay in it than he says he's ever run in his life. He had like 1171 or something like that. And he kept bumping up to be green, be double low, double O. So, and he did miss it third round on Thursday. So we were up there for the time run and he was like, what should I put in? I was like, well, man, like, I was like, where's triple zero from yesterday? Your last good run. He said 1174. I was like, put that. Like, what's the worst that can happen? It goes red. It's a fucking time run anyway. And then we're going back and forth on dial in Big Rock, Texas, back from home. He's like, man, I've been watching for like 30, 40 minutes. I think it's pretty fast out there. And he was thinking put a 74 on it. Well, to that point, we hadn't really seen low 74 in that motherfucker. But the more we watched, we're like, man, you know, he's probably right. We're probably about to go mid to low 74. I saw triple zero hit the scoreboard and I was like, holy shit. Like, and I, at that point, I really didn't care if it went dead zero. I just wanted to be dead something. I just wanted us to be right. I mean, and I think it took three total or better to get in the top three anyway.
Yep.
But I mean, if that thing would have hit dead one, dead two, we're still, you know, the kid gets either a set of heads or he gets $2,000. and it popped up a thou under. I cussed all the way back to the golf cart, on the golf cart, all the way back to the trailer.
I was hard. You coming off the track, and anybody you could find, I saw you cussing and like just shaking your head, and like, we just missed 50K. I mean, by
oh now. Yeah. What I told him was, you know, we were a foul away from going home. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, if that motherfucker lands dead zero, we're going to the fucking house. Because look, like, the only two people that are going to make more money than you are the guy that wins the million and the guy that runner-ups the million.
That's true.
Outside of that, you've beat everybody else. There's nothing else left here. I'm about to save you a little bit of money. We're going to go fucking home. Where we're going to go to Vegas, hang out, go to the Grand Canyon the next day, then go to the fucking house. I said, we were a foul away from being able to go the fuck home.
There was at least two negative one packs. There might have been a third.
Yeah, I know Shane Thompson did it.
Yeah, there was a two pack from.
Well, I know Robbie Gear was one total.
Robbie Gear won the two. Yeah, he was two pack. And then Megan Lotz. I think it's Megan Lotz goes trip zip and dead three and wins $2,000, I think. The next day in the reaction time challenge, she got drawn for the reaction time challenge, which is if you hit a double low light, you get $100. If you hit a triple zero, you get $1,000. And if you come right back, you get a chance for another $10,000. If you hit two trip zips back to back. The next day she's trip zip, picks up a grand, comes back on her second run in the reaction time challenge and is 002. I mean, she just missed out on 10 grand by $2,000 herself. I mean, it was just insane, you know?
Oh no.
But Megan then T-Rock, I think it was T-Rock that got the other three-pack, right?
Yeah, he was three total as well.
There was a lot of good runs laid down.
Oh, yeah. Megan Lotz is a really good racer.
Yeah, she was killing the tree. And her and Shannon Justice. And
well, fuck it. It felt like we couldn't get away from her family. he run her dad, like, second round of the million. And then we wake up Saturday morning, first round, got to run fucking Shannon. And then when he lost fourth round, he lost to Tim Thomas, who came with him. So it was like, damn, you know, if we could stay away from that one trailer, you know, these two groups could have had a pretty good fucking week.
Yeah, it was a fun week. It was a fun week for me. I mean, being there at the races, it's been a long time since it's been a week at the races. The last time I probably did that was at Indy. Matter of fact, the last few times I've been to Indy, I've only been there from Wednesday through Sunday. And, but yeah, it's probably, I don't know. It was a lot of fun and a good race. Lots of just killer drivers and pairings. And I mean, I went live after open ceremonies, because the first three pair in the pro class was just sick. I mean, I think it was Nasty Nick and Kyle Rizzoli in the first pair. Mm-hmm. Then they had Brandon Umberger and Nicky Thomas, who had just won the pro class the night before as a second. And then the third pair was Justin Lamb and I want to say, who was it? Andy Small. And so, and Andy had just won 30K, you know, on Wednesday. So I was like, hell, I got to go live because I just want to sit up here and watch this shit. I mean, it was that good. And the whole week was that way. Matter of fact, there was only 22 pro cars in the million in the, and Justin Lamb was going to double, but he's like, hell with that. One, you can't get back quick enough, you know, two, he's so big. It's a big track. So, but then two, he's like, I might as well just go run top bowl, even though I'm off the bottom, because it was unreal. Those 22 cars that were in the bottom bowl class there.
Oh, it was brutal.
That was the million. Most of the time they had more than that in it, but that for the million, it was only 22 and they were just ugly.
Oh yeah. I mean, I watched all the first round of pro and I was like, thank fucking God I didn't pay to do this deal because it was insane. It was really, it's what you would hope it would be.
Yeah, I mean, it was by far the most entertaining class the whole week to me, because there were just so many great pairings. And during the week, everybody's doubled. So one round, you've got, you know, in one entry, you've got Jimmy DeFrank versus, you know, Rizzoli or Nick Hastings or Lamb or somebody. The next, they come back in their second pairing and they've got another heavy hitter. I mean, Nick raced against, you know, by far some of the best bracket racers out there, or bottom bowl racers. And, you know, he was, I think he ended up going to, what, two finals in that and during the week and stuff, but
the pro final during the million was fucking sick. Mm-hmm. Or the semifinal was fucking sick. Yep. Between him and Randy.
Yeah, Biddle, that was the next one I was gonna say. Yep. Biddle Jr. RBJ was there. You had,
he's four take four and can't fucking win.
Yeah,
it's just, I mean, it's just fucking insane. Well,
the first round I told you of the million, that between Rizzoli's 001, Hastings is like 006, Hastings goes out. And then he comes Hastings back.
Lost, he lost both entries.
He lost both entries in the million first round because, but he had, like I said, I don't know who he came back and raced, but it was brutal. It was fun to watch from the tower and from the starting line. Doing the live feeds and stuff for fun and working with Pete and Kyle was a blast and all the different people we got to run into. So I was, it was a great week for me. And I was glad to see you there.
Yep. It was good to see you there as well. Even though we live in the same state, we actually don't get to see each other that often.
Not that much. So,
no.
Now, you had a little problem when you got there, though, when you first time you walked out to the starting line, did you?
Man,
I got to let you ran a little bit.
This is no fault of the Las Vegas Motor Speedway staff or the Spring Fling staff, but they got the security guard. And it seems like every year, me and the security guard get into it. Every year. So I get there Thursday morning. Keep in mind, we drove 3 extra hours on the 17-hour trip that we were supposed to be on because we went through a blizzard in New Mexico. And we had to take a 3-hour detour because they shut down I-40, which I didn't even know you could fucking do. So we get there like 2 o'clock in the morning, got to wake up at 7 so we can go through the gate, get parked, get unloaded, and make it just in time for this new entry time run. So I walk out there first round, no problems really. I was like, okay, that's cool. And then I go out there for Little Rock, decided to double and drive Nate Dogg's car. And I go to walk out there like, hey man, you can't go on the start line. I'm like, why? You know, I got my wristband. Like, what's the issue? Like, well, you don't have a mask on. I'm like, oh man, no, I'm sorry. Is there any way I can just go out there for this run? And, you know, I'll cover my face with my shirt or something, but I have a mask back at the trailer. He goes, well, you don't have closed toed shoes on either, which is anyone knows me. One, I hate wearing shoes. And, I usually wear flip flops. If I'm racing, I wear the Hey Dudes. And I was like, you're fucking kidding me. He's like, you have to have closed toed shoes. I was like, I run a fucking racetrack and I don't wear closed toed shoes there. Like, there ain't a fucking place in the whole fucking country that's made me wear closed toed shoes on the start line.
I didn't know that was a rule.
I didn't know it was either. It's probably just a rule there. I don't fucking know. Maybe that guy just fucking hates me. I don't know. But it seemed like he wasn't just a dick to me. It seemed like he was a dick to other people. So he tells me I gotta have fucking shoes on. So we get into it for a fucking minute. I'm like, fine, what the fuck ever. So I'm going around. What I was going to do was we have an abundance of towels in that trailer. I was going to wrap 2 fucking wash rags around my feet, duct tape them, and fucking go back up start line and say, fuck them. I get to Galetti's trailer, and I'm like, hey, man, I need some tape. He's like, okay, well, where are you doing? I tell him, he's like, well, fuck, we got some old racing shoes in here. He just throws me some fucking shoes, and I wore them on a Thursday.
Yeah, that photo, I took that photo of you standing there.
I know you did.
Double O, because I sent it straight to Double O and said, have fun with this one. And I told him the story. So I did that a few times last week.
Oh, yeah. But then we fixed that problem. We went to Walmart the next morning and bought a pair of off-brand Crocs for $11. And that's where I'm not quite sure how the fucking Crocs are more safe than my flip-flops are, but apparently they are because a fucking bee flew in them motherfuckers. And I stepped on the fucking bee. I didn't own these shoes fucking 2 hours. I stepped on a fucking bee. And apparently, no, it didn't fucking sting me, but I don't know if it died or not because it rolled. I shook it out of my shoe and it was like kind of hop around on the ground like it was dying. And then I went back to go find it and it was fucking gone. So either we run it over the golf cart or it flew away. But I for sure put my entire body weight on that fucking bee, not even knowing it's in my shoe. So.
All right, man. Well, what's next? Well, let's Jake is not here today.
We had
a scheduling conflict this week and it kind of was last minute to get everybody together. And so we missed Jake this week, but he'll be back.
Oh yeah. He'll be back next week. Yeah. I think he was doing some stuff for his races event, coming up.
Yeah. Work a man. Grand. He added some new stuff to that today.
Yeah.
5K on Friday. Was that what it was?
Yeah. So Friday, they're going to have a free 5 grander if you pay the weekend entry. Yeah. If you want to double, I think it's an additional $100. And I think they have first round buybacks, which is, you know, pretty normal for everyone. So pretty cool deal. If you come in to race for 2 days, you get to race for a third day for free. And then something cool else that they're getting ready to do is they're going to be the first Motor Mania feed to have live cameras inside the cars.
That's going to be cool.
So they're going to have a couple of random cars throughout the weekend that they're going to have some, I don't know if they're GoPro cameras or what they are, but they're going to have some cameras inside the car that we're going to get to watch from. I'm not sure how that's going to be selected, but pretty cool deal if you're going to, if you don't get to go to Kill Care and have to watch from home.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun for the racers too. So,
oh yeah,
and sounds then, like a good deal. The whole weekend sounds fun. The Bounty Lane and some of that stuff. So we got a couple other races just coming up. CP Racing Promotions, R&M Race Trailer. They're going to be in Kentucky next weekend, I believe.
Yep, I'll be on the microphone for that event.
Good deal over at London. Is that London?
Yep, that'll be my first trip to London. So then I'm pretty
the week
pretty
before.
Stoked.
Jake's Working Man 10 grand. You've got CP has the 2-for-1 on the Bayou down in State Capitol. I think that's 3 tens, if I'm not mistaken. And then,
3 tens. You're doubled for $400.
Yep.
I mean, that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah. And then the same weekend, you've got Extreme Raceway. You got the Fat Boy Mafia with Paige Hamlin, who works with Drag Champ with us there. And she'll have the Super 70 shootout there. And so they're, trying to fill up a 128 car shootout for 70K. And then they've got races Thursday and Friday there. So, and Saturday, I believe. So lots of racing coming up. Make sure you check them out. You go to those races if you're in the areas and mark your schedules. Find more at Drag Champ as always. So that's pretty much it, man. I had a rant, but I'm going to leave it, Ryan.
Yeah, they're
just going to let it go.
Yeah, they're tearing it up. It'll be fine.
There's all kind of fun stuff out there, but I don't know. We'll just leave it this. People want to know, how do you get on the Drag Champ top 10 list? I'll just let Ryan answer that.
Do something worth the fuck.
Okay, there you
win go. Something. Like, if you semi a sportsman at your local track for $200, you're probably not going to make the top 10. If you win a bunch of shit, you will.
Only if you nominate some yourself, or you get a friend to nominate yourself.
Yes, that's a big part of it too. Is people win something and then nobody nominates them. It's kind of hard
People think they're tooting their own horn, but unfortunately, some of the popular kids, as they're called, you know, that make the list quite often, they're either tooting their own horn or they're thanking their sponsors, or they're just posting something so somebody knows what the hell they did, or they're racing at a race big enough that there's a PR person that's writing a story about it and saying this is what's going on and sending it out. So if you're not racing at the biggest races, you either toot your own horn or don't complain when nobody knows what the hell you did. So it's always nice when people are like, oh, thank you for including me. And I'm like, only way I knew is either somebody nominated you or you put out a post that let everybody know and people were commenting. And there's a couple different ways to do that. So, but anyway, I always like your answer with the do something worth the fuck. That's always the best answer for all of that. So
it's the easiest way to go about it.
All right, man. Well, I think I'm off for the next couple of weeks. I'm working on getting my dragster back together, and we've got a little work to do on Austin's Junior. And so maybe we take off this week and next week, and then hopefully hit the races here soon, and still kind of catching back up from being off for a week and gone between work and Drag Champ and school, racing and all the things we got going on. So, but we'll be back at the track soon. I just don't know exactly where yet, but I'll be ready to let go in mine. It's been way too long since I've made a lap. So
I feel you.
Looking forward to it.
It's been a while for me, and I don't know when I'm getting in one. So,
but you've got a busy schedule coming up. You'll be working hard here.
Yeah. Starting this upcoming month, we get after pretty busy, which I'm really grateful for. Take as many of these jobs as I can.
Yep.
That's the only way it keeps me out of a 9-to-5.
Yeah. The 9-to-5 keeps me from being able to do some of the fun stuff I want to do, but it does pay the bills. So I kind of like having the lights turned on. And so, but anyway, we're working on announcing. I should announce next week. We got a new hire for the Drag Champ website. So
cool.
We're expanding. Building the team, brother. Building the team. So really thankful for all the people that are on the team that help us out. So, but got to have more help. Got to grow it, man. Got lots to do.
Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate you coming on tonight. Appreciate y'all listening. Thanks to Dylan Mudd for coming on tonight. And like and share. Follow along. Subscribe to our newsletter to keep up with everything. Drag Champ at dragchamp.com/subscribe. share the podcast, help us out, help us grow it. We appreciate you all. We'll see you next week.